What's up, guys? Welcome back to my channel. This is my podcast. I'm with a really special guest, a good friend of mine who I've been working with for a long time. His name is Gerard Texan. Gerard, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I can't wait to just talk and get to know you and just let everyone else know who you are. So without further ado, please begin.
My name is Gerard, and I'm from New York. And I do videos and work at a college. You should have told me something to prepare, dude. I mean,
look, I'll help you out, man. All right, so Gerard, we worked on a bunch of YouTube videos. We met up through my friend Castro from high school, and we used to go to aviation high school together. So excuse me, he put me on these guys, and they were called...
ZZ.
There you go. Our boy's here. Special guest, if you want to say hi, he just crashed in the podcast. Say what's up to Z.
Hi, guys.
You want to say hi, you can over here. The camera's right here.
There's only two cameras.
Yeah. Hi,
he's just
guys.
Chilling. Yeah, you can come through both cameras. Yo, so we met through aviation high school. Through my friend from aviation high school, Castro, who let me know about you guys. And then I think you had Dayside at the time. That was the name before, right?
Yeah, Dayside Productions.
Dayside Productions. And we just clicked because they were just like me. I mean, geeks with a passion.
Mm-hmm.
Film passion.
Yes.
They love video games, anime, fashion, like all types of stuff. It's really cool, and it clicked with me. So I was like, these guys are awesome. I want to work more. Because I already had an established YouTube channel at the time. That's how I got linked up with them.
Well, what was your YouTube channel again? It was...
Are We Famous Now?
No, it was before that. It's like Strike.
Oh, my gosh. Really? It was around that time?
Yeah, it was around that time.
It was X Strife X.
X, yeah.
That was my original... That was my original YouTube channel name. That's embarrassing.
Yes, and then you evolve into Are We Famous Now.
That's right, yeah. And then we start growing from there, and we start moving into a lot of things. So I'm going to let you take it away, but...
Well, you know what? Something's like bothering me. You have a cool entertainer talent like right behind these cameras. He's right above the chair. I mean, he should be part of this.
Yeah, you know, he needs to be part of this.
Because he could definitely add into something like this.
So,
you know, because...
Come through, Z.
No, it's you guys.
No, why don't you just sit here? Because the thing is, like, I remember, like, the setup how Tom Green had it before.
Yeah,
For some reason, he just had, like, one dude
Z
with
is the next Tom Green, bro. Z is the next Tom Green. You're going to have your own show doing crazy shit. I can see it right now. Oh, yeah. There's another chair there.
Just grab a chair. Let it come through.
Good to chill, because this is a G's shit, man.
No, yeah, it's fine.
Shout out to Gerard, man, for, you know really helping me in my content, giving ideas from, like, the Pokemon Go to the Mentos commercial. And
yeah, we're...
And Filipino, so...
Yeah, I just want to, like, show the screen. I mean, see? Look at this. Isn't that awesome? Zelda.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm a big Zelda fan. Mm-hmm. So that's how we really linked up. But, yeah, take it away. How did you start your YouTube channel? Why did you start YouTube? Why did you get into filming? And it's like we share so many similarities. Like, we are also big Jackie Chan fans, and we haven't seen each other in a long time. And when did we meet? During a Jackie Chan meetup.
Yes, that is crazy. Okay, so you know what? Let me rewind and go back to when I started. Before, I was just a weeb. You guys know what a weeb is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like an anime dude that's crazy into anime and stuff. And back in the days, me and my friends just did a bunch of like crazy gangsters versus ninjas thing. Mm-hmm. So if you guys check out RDC One World right now, we're the first one who actually did all those anime and gangster in one shot.
Oh, the mashup.
Yeah. So we did that back in the days, and we liked it to the point where it's like, you know, I kind of want to take this seriously. Mm-hmm. I want to keep producing a lot of video content, and Dayside Production was born. Dayside Production is a group of people who want to create content to entertain people. At first, we were heavily influenced by Wong Fu Productions.
Yeah, I love those guys.
Yeah, Wong Fu Production was an Asian video production group, and did a lot of like love stories. Had a lot of people of color, mainly Asians, into their contests. Like, wow, that could be us. I could tell my story and create it into a video form. And from there on, we produce a lot of short films about a guy try to fight for this girl that he loves or likes. And
was that with Jake Choi?
Oh, yeah. No, let me get to that. But
spoiler alert. Sorry.
But you know, that's usually my main theme. And then throughout that endeavor, we got to meet so many awesome people, like yourself, like you also, like, because the thing is, like, I like featuring really talented people. One of them was Jake Choi also, who I was like, wow, this dude looks like he came out of like a Korean drama and mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. Let me ask him if he wants to be in a short film, and he would be like that asshole bully who has, you know, who has that hot chick and stuff, and you got this main character who's like geeky and who wants to get that girl, but he has to pass through that asshole dude. And yeah, that short film was called For the Win, and that's the first time I collaborated with Jake Choi. And now if you actually Google Jake Choi,
yeah,
he's in is it NBC or ABC?
I think it's ABC.
It's ABC's Single Parents.
Yeah, he's on a TV
and
show.
And he's everywhere right yeah. now. And, you know, I'm really happy for him. But just the fact that, like, a lot of talent that I linked up with has become super, super famous, just like yourself and
thanks,
you.
Thanks, man. Thank you, bro.
And the thing is, like, I like working with, like, so many creative people because it kind of pushes me to produce, you know, more stronger content, as well as it just keeps me into place that, like, this is something that I want to do for, like, a long time.
That's awesome, man. I feel like you got that touch, that magic touch. Right? Like, anybody who meets you just blows up. So if you guys want to meet him, you know, paid $25 per entry. yeah. But, you know, it's, like, it's crazy because I remember Jake Choi, we first, like, when on our first production, I was there when you had him. And then, like, Jay Choi is, like, an actor that worked with Gerard, and he had him on a lot of short films, and he's a really cool dude, Jake Choi. he was, his first, like, almost, like, big hit was being on the commercial, the Best Buy commercial during the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, the Super Bowl commercial, yeah.
That was badass. And then now, finally, he's on a TV show, which is cool, because I remember, like, he was really pushing, man. He had, like, he was grinding, and he was, like, pushing, and he's like he went above his, like, you know, his age, and he was worrying about his age and stuff, but he didn't give up and he kept going.
But prior to that Super Bowl commercial, he was part of another Super Bowl commercial that was never aired.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
This was the Doritos commercial that we did with him.
That's right. The one that we did together. That's right. That one's super viral though.
Yeah, that was Triple D's Doritos, and Kareem was there, Jake was there. That was like one of my first viral video. It has 1.2 million views currently, but that was, yeah, it was hilarious. It's just hilarious because the year after he actually got a Super Bowl commercial.
That's so cool, man. That's awesome. And that's like a little bit of what Gerard really put us through, on working. And then we fast forward a little bit, and then we've started to work on, and then you like had this great opportunity for us. Tell us about that, because of Gerard, I was able to work with Ryan Higa and meet Ryan Higa and talk to Ryan mm-hmm. Higa and have him follow me on Twitter. So shout out to Ryan Higa, one of the greatest creators on the platform. He's just great. Tell us how that happened.
Okay, so I think Ryan Higa, I think, tweeted something that he's doing like a reality TV show, but for YouTube creators. I was like, you know, we're YouTube creators. Let me get a bunch of talented people from New York, and let's be New Yorkers in this show, because it's in LA. It's like, ah, man, but you know, we got to figure out like flight tickets or whatever. But I didn't care about that. It's just like, you know what? Let me see who's in, who has some type of funds to go to LA and try out, you know, because I think at that time we were on top of our game. You know, like, I think you were doing a lot of great skit that was going viral. Mm-hmm. I was doing a lot of awesome skits that was going viral also. It's like, you know what? Let's just work together and then grab, I think it was Sean. I think you just met him there. It was Sean and Earl, another friend. And it's like, you know what? And actually, I invited David and Jake also. Ah. David and Jake, they didn't take us seriously. He's like, well, why go all the way to LA, spend money? You guys are never going to make it. And Jake was like, are you for real? You're going to go to LA for that? I was like, yeah, we are. You know, I'm just going to give it a try. You know, yeah, you take this opportunity when it's presented to you. I think that's always my mantra. When an opportunity presented to you, take it.
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah, that's good.
And just be smart about it, because some of them are like flakes or, you know, scams and stuff. You just got to be smart about it. But this one's coming from Ryan Higa. He's pretty big, so I don't think he's scamming anybody.
Yeah.
So the one that says yes was Sean, Earl, and Kareem. It's like, you know what? Let's go. Let's suit up. Let's go to L.A. Try out. So we got to L.A., and it was like American Idol. They got us in the L.A. studios. They got us in this big warehouse, everybody. And then, you know, we were scoping out the competition. It's like, you know what? I think we're a little bit better than those guys. Oh, you got to watch out for that one.
Yeah.
She's really pretty. She's Lana McKissick.
Yeah, she's great, by the way.
Yeah.
Shout out to Lana McKissick.
And then there's like...
She's also very talented.
Yeah. Then she was playing guitar with those two brothers over there.
Yeah, yeah.
The Funk Brothers, right? No, not
Funk Brothers. Foo Brothers.
The Foo Brothers.
Yes. Yeah.
The Foo Brothers, but then beside them, opposite side of them, was these two Caucasian kids. Well, it wasn't that kids, they're like older male and stuff.
Yeah.
The Rydell Brothers.
The Rydell Brothers.
I was like, man. Wow, these, I think those guys right there, like that little crew was like, you know, our competition.
Yeah, the creme de la creme.
Yeah, you know, everybody else, they were like there just to have fun, just to meet celebrities. We're there serious because we want to at least be the top 10.
That's
to
right.
To be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And to win it, you know. So we came in with a competitive mindset, because the thing is, we don't want to waste that much money. It's a lot of money, yeah. Especially I was still a college kid. I think everybody was a college kid.
Yeah,
that time.
I was still in college. Yeah.
Yeah, I think how much was the plane ride there? It was like all of a sudden too. So it's like $600.
Yeah.
Plus a hotel every single day you're on that show.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of money. We needed to stay there as long as we can and try to get the most benefit out of it.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. They didn't pay for anything.
They didn't pay for anything.
So, I mean, even, you know, like he just like talked about the intro. He didn't talk about the fact that we busted through and what was the director's name? He really liked us.
Andy Finkman.
Yes. Awesome dude. Awesome dude. He loved us and he's like, okay. They started counting down the people, bro, and then we were the top 10. They put us in the top 10.
But the thing is, why? Here's the question though. Why were we top 10?
Because you managed to choose a smart move. Which people still to this day think is real.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. We decided to play the evil guys, the bad guys.
Well, we didn't really play the evil guys. We just wanted to be the loud.
The loud, obnoxious, competitive guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like at the same time, we were really competitive because we didn't want to waste our money.
That's true. Yeah.
But by the same time, if we didn't become loud, or if we just, you know, just be like.
We came in with a lot of energy.
Like, or if we just. We're just humble and like, okay, well, you know, we try our best. Yeah.
No.
You know, be quiet. I don't think we would have made the
top 10. That's so true. That's so true. I don't think either.
You know, so during that time, I said, look, you know what? Let's try to be hyped up, you know, times 10. Let's be like the ugly version of New York. You know, the one that everybody hates. The thing's like, you know, I think it was a fine idea because we made the top 10 regardless.
Not only the top 10, we made the top 5.
The top 5, yeah.
We got to the top
5. So throughout that thing, like the things we were loud, the thing is like a lot of the personality got it, that it was a front for the camera, because every single time the camera wasn't on, we were like all buddies.
Yeah, and we were cool, you know, behind the camera. Yeah,
you're cool. And then the camera turns on, it's like, yo, we got to be mad loud.
Yeah.
we got to be mad loud and try to, you know, try to make it our scene or something, you know, because I know for a fact there was like this one super hot dude, Justin James Hughes.
Yeah,
you know,
guy.
Yeah, that guy has abs for days. You know, he's like the boy next door. He looks really good. Like I know the camera is gonna be up on his face all the time.
Yeah,
you know, and then you got Lana, who's so cute. It's all there, you know, and I feel like at that point our content was mediocre compared to the Rydell brothers, because they were really real filmmakers, professional filmmakers. So the only thing that could make us stand out is our New York, because none of them are from New York.
Yeah.
You know, so we got to be real, we got to be loud, Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got to make a name for ourselves. And at the end of the day, we made a name for ourselves. We showcased our filmmaking talents as well as your acting and Sean's editing and Earl's, like, you know, likableness in front of the camera, you know. But our first challenge was the infamous challenge that set us, I think, everybody started talking, and I think that's the time when I didn't want to be a bad guy. I just wanted to be loud. Yeah. But the one that set us off was the first challenge, where we kind of made this mediocre skit about, you know, I'm fighting you, and all of a sudden I jumped on the table.
And we broke through table.
The funny thing is, I jumped the table once. It didn't break. Yeah. But then on action, I jumped on it, and it broke the table.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap, I think we're in big trouble. You know, but then I'm looking at the table, it's like, it's an shallow.
It was an IKEA table.
It's an IKEA table, shallow. Yeah. It's like,
they told us not to worry about it afterwards. They're like, yeah, just be careful next time. You're lucky it's only like a $20 table.
Yeah. That's what the one of the producers said. But then the director came in. He goes, he started laughing like, oh, no. Your guy's going to get it.
Yeah.
And then he goes back out the door. The camera starts recording. And then his face just turns like 180 and becomes... start yelling at us, what happened here?
Yeah.
What happened here? You're going to pay for that table. And we're like...
I was freaking out, bro.
Yeah, like, the thing is, that's the time... We're still new and fresh.
To the fucking reality world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was a fucking crazy reality show.
Yeah, so...
You want to bring it up on the TV and let them see a quick episode of when we broke the table?
Probably just do it in, like, when you're editing it. But yeah. Like, I don't want to relive it.
Yeah,
because that's the big 180 of the whole thing. And that's the time when I knew that, especially Andy Fickman, a great director, he directed Paul...
Rock.
Yeah, The Rock and Tooth Fairy. Is it Tooth Fairy?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tooth Fairy and Paul Blart Mall Cop and stuff. You know, he was laughing. He was just, like, you know, like, chilling with us. And all of a sudden, he just started yelling at us and stuff about this table, this cheap table that we broke. And tell us to pay for it. I said, I'll pay for it, even though I'm a broke college kid.
You stepped up.
Yeah, stepped up. I was like, and then the camera cuts and goes, yeah, don't worry about table. We're good. Let's go to Justin James Hughes.
Yeah. Hey. It was cool though, but it was the most talked about moment, and then we became a meme.
Yeah.
Like the table, it became like a meme on during that time, and then. Everybody wanted to know what's happening next with us. What's happening with us? They didn't care what we were creating. They just wanted to see what drama we would create next.
Yeah.
And the producers started seeing that. And they started catching on that, and they started really creating and you know, and working around that.
Exactly.
And they even like even when the season was finished, like for season two, they tried to bring something back too. They were asking about. I remember we didn't come together as a group, and they were like, "Where's Dayside? Is Dayside coming?" And I'm like, oh, no, they decided not to come this year. Because they wanted something crazy because they knew that we were going to bring entertainment.
Exactly. You know, I could tell a lot more, like, for each episode what happened and what, you know, something. But, like, I don't think we have enough time. But the thing is, like, you know, throughout that time, I think that's the time when, like, a lot of things turned around. I think Sean wanted to do his thing. Earl wants to do his thing. I think you were blowing up.
Yeah,
stuff.
I actually had more subscribers than most of the team there.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was crazy. And then that show just made me even go further beyond.
Yeah, but the thing about that is that's the time when I experienced a lot of the internet bullying and stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, like, I know for a fact that, like, you know, it was a front to stand out, but, like, this whole TV show created such a bad image of the group, but especially for me, because the thing is, like, I kind of want to step up and, like, try to get all the heat, because for me, like, in my head, like, bad press is good press, you know, so
it is.
So but the thing is, like, yeah, I got a lot of, like, good views, I have some subscribers and stuff, but then at the same time there was a lot more haters that came into my channel to kind of, like, held down some of my future skits. So I was like, ah, man, that kind of sucks. But, you know, I think that's the time when it's like, you know what, I gotta take a break from YouTube and start doing more real, not real, but, like, more serious filmmaking.
take it seriously, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the time when I finished up my bachelor's degree in media studies at Hunter College and started entering film festivals and things like that. And then, you know, later on decided to get my master's degree in, like, in a film and started to do a little bit more serious thing. But that's at the same time, it's still fun to do YouTube videos.
Yeah,
so,
man.
So, you know, that's what, like, you know, always makes me, you know, it links up to you and stuff, and a lot more awesome people. Because sometimes, you know, doing a lot of serious short films, it's cool. It's, you know, it's good for your, like, you know, like your accomplishment. But sometimes it's not fun. It's more stressful sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So YouTube allows me to create like a lot, like kind of like this one, you're creating something, right?
Yeah.
But it's like almost hanging out. So
yeah.
That's the thing that I like about doing YouTube videos. And
that's so true. That's one of the main, it's like, it's very therapeutic for me. Whenever I'm working with you or any of these guys, it's like, mm-hmm. I'm not just going to go and film and be stressed out. I'm going to also hang out and have a good time with these guys.
Exactly.
So it's like, it's doing, you know, killing two birds with one stone. You,
mm-hmm.
You're hanging out, chilling, and filming, creating something crazy that could change your life.
Yeah, that's the thing I love about YouTube. Aside from that, you know, every single time, like, you know, because the thing is, like, for me, like, I could never get, like, a niche in a way. Like, try to get, like, a certain type of audience, because my content is all about, like, oh, either serious filmmaking, and then you got anime stuff, video game stuff, and then just silly stuff, you know. So I couldn't grasp that. But for some reason, some of my videos were still getting viral, and I'm just getting a couple of, like, YouTube checks here and there. It's like, it just keeps pulling me back to YouTube all the time, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, this year I'm not going to do YouTube. I'm just going to focus on serious filmmaking. But then, you know, they got Jackie Chan for some reason in the YouTube space.
I remember that.
I was like, what? Like, you know, I'm going back to YouTube space. Well, actually, the first time I actually got back to the YouTube space is when they had the set, the CBGBs. I love punk rock music.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that they actually have a set that has the real walls of the venue, CBGBs, it's like, you know what, I have to go back. And from that there on, like, I checked out the YouTube program, and I noticed that YouTube is very serious about, like, their production, kind of like what you have right now. You got the C100 Mark IIs. C300 Mark IIs with cinema lenses. That's like $20,000 cameras right there and
each
stuff. Yeah, each of them. That's like,
yeah,
like, where can you get that? Like, and we could rent it out for free.
And that's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Well, not technically for free. I mean, they take a cut from us on our checks, like 10% cut. Like, what YouTube takes actually 45% or 55% of our, we don't get 100% from our cut, right? So technically,
I don't know.
No, when you get your check on YouTube, right? It's not the full amount from AdSense. They take a YouTube takes
a
cut.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
So technically, we are paying for this.
Yeah, technically.
We busted our balls.
Actually,
with this.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to point that out there. But thank you still for giving us the opportunity, because it's very cool. But I just think it's amazing, man. One thing that I admire about you is that you're always able to gather a crew, always have a crew, always able to work professionally and get a team together. And it was really, really inspiring for me. Because that's one of the things I still struggle with till this day, to get really a crew, man. It's hard to get a crew of people, of like-minded people who are willing to be like, you know what, I'm down. I'm down to just be the mic guy. I'm down to just be this guy, because I want to make this piece happen. I want to make this art happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's really rare, you know. Like, but it's when we find, you know, the cool people that are down to do this stuff and create. It's awesome, because, you know, I always tell my friends, like, bro, I set up, like, there's this thing that, like a lot of people were hitting me up to create a show off of, and it was called A Dollar for Your Story, New York Dollar Stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I set up in Union Square, sit on the table, and then I tell people that I'm going to give them a dollar for their story. So whatever it is they want to talk about, they could talk about it, and we'll give them a dollar. And we just started having an incredible different people coming through from all walks of life. And when we started doing that, the team I had, you know, and this is like no negativity, I love them, thank you so much for like still recording it, they weren't passionate about it. Like, one guy was holding the camera, and he was literally, like, just, like, not even paying attention to the thing. And I was like, yo, bro, you got to keep the camera on them. They would get tired, and they're like, oh, we don't want to do it anymore. Like, can we just go home? I'm like, no, let's keep going. Let's keep going recording. I was like, I know I'm kind of a beast when it comes to that, but, like, I saw the vision. They didn't see the vision. And then when I released that, the very first one went super viral, 3 million. got hit up by so many people like, Kareem, let's make it into a show. We'll sponsor it. And I didn't know what the fuck to do. I didn't know. Like, I was like, I'll just keep it on YouTube. I don't know really what to do. Like, I had people like from Liquid Social hitting me up, and they wanted to make a show out of that. And then I was like, I released second one, another 2 million views. And then the third one, another. And then after that, they didn't want to do it anymore, so I didn't have a team to help me with it. Time went by. Everybody forgot about it. I could have had a really good series if I kept it weekly, you know? And that's the thing, man. It's really hard to get to have a team that's, like, that's dedicated.
Yeah, the thing is, like, with me is, if you notice, like, I always have, like, a new team for, like, for, like, the new year, you know?
That's true.
You know, sometimes a lot of people just cling on to you just because you have access to so many different things, you know? And you just got to be wary of a lot of those type of people where,
you
like...
Just talk about that. Yeah, people like... that use you for your...
Exactly. It's like, you know, like, you trust these people. They want to work for you and do a lot of cool stuff. But at the same time, you know, you once your back is turned, it's like they're not there anymore. You know what I mean? So, you know, look, watching out for those things. But, like, for me, I only got into that with a couple of people, but like majority of the people I work with, like they're very passionate about the stuff they do, and they're really good at it. It just came time to the point where a lot of them grows up, and a lot of grown up things start popping up. Like,
yeah,
you know, like a lot of times it's money. You know, a lot of times is like either going back to school, having a girlfriend, wife, and having a kid or something. So that's, you know, that's something that's like a lot of people, like especially in my case, a lot of people, yeah, couldn't go on and move on. Like, fortunate for me, like, you know, I found a way to be to maintain this type of lifestyle where, you know, I have good money going in. I could finance my own work and sometimes finance other people's work. And sometimes, just keep going. Whereas, like, other people, they still need to find that means of ways of getting money and getting by, especially in New York. New York, it ain't easy because, rent is high, all-time high.
New York is so expensive, yeah.
And when you live at the day, like, today, especially when, like, fashion and clothing is like the number top priority of these kids nowadays, it's tough to keep up with media, you know. It's really tough. So for me is like, I got a job at a college, and I started, you know, I started doing some, you know, teaching gigs here and there for films and stuff. So I got a lot of fresh kids working for me. And their enthusiasm is super high, and they work hard. Maybe their skills might still be, you know, mediocre, but, you know, they try their hardest to be to produce an awesome project. And yeah, that's how I usually manage. But for the rest of the people, that's like, you know, the ones that I work with, a lot of them turned into like freelancers. A lot of them try to break into Hollywood, and a lot of them try their own to do YouTube. Right. So, you know, it's really tough, but at least we got each other to help each other out.
That's
you know,
right, man, always.
You know, and you guys have been like really helpful, and you know, like with a lot of my projects, you guys make it fun. You know,
and that's the most important thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, what's your plans for 2019? What does Gerard have in 2019 for us?
2019, like, it's always my plan to actually quit YouTube, but then you guys made one of my videos viral again. a Doritos commercial, nonetheless, that I created 4 years ago, and now it's at up to 3 million views. I was like, oh, come on. And then I'm looking at the AdSense of it, it's like, whoa, I'm getting a good check because of this.
Yeah, bro.
So
yeah,
I guess
you're lucky. I gotta jump in on that Doritos. I got Doritos commercials paying up the ass for that.
Freaking Doritos. You saw the new Doritos commercial?
No, I haven't actually.
So last year they stopped the whole Doritos competition and stuff. It's like, oh, come on. It was fun for creators to do a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, you get $1 million if you win.
Yeah, and then you know, it boosts up people's career and stuff. But, you know, they stopped it last year. And then this year I saw this Doritos commercial. And guess who's in it? Chance the Rapper and the Backstreet Boys.
Both in one.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I saw a picture of that. I have to see that.
I was like, come on. But whatever, you know, at least some people are still searching up YouTube about Doritos commercial. And they see my commercial and stuff.
It's like a name drop. You got to have a creative. Like, speaking of the NFL, I've noticed like a lot of the commercials were pushing AI. So what do you think about AI? Like, what do you like? Do you think that's gonna take over the movie world industry? Like, imagine just an AI recording and can AI create art?
You know what? I was watching the Super Bowl. I did notice a lot of AI stuff and robots stuff. Mm-hmm. You know. And I was like wondering, like, why are they pushing these things so much?
Yeah,
you know. But I had to say, at the end of the day, someone has to program those. Someone has to program those robots. Yeah. So the people that's making money out of those things are programmers. Mm-hmm. And to your question, if AI will produce better art than humans, I don't think so. It's still, I don't think so because they do like a lot of their thinking through like calculations and maths and whatever and stuff.
You know, that's true. I think there's like a human element that you can't really tap into. Exactly. But I feel that AI like is infinite to the point where it could just keep machine learning and just being better than the last second. And it's going to keep on growing. I don't know if you heard about this, but I think the artist was Van Gogh, so they got the. I'm pretty sure it might be that artist. If not, I'm sorry. Just write in the comments below. They took an AI machine and they made it learn all his art pieces, all his paintings, right? So they recorded every single one, and the machine just learned every single one. And then they made that machine recreate a new art piece, completely original, in the likes of Van Gogh. So it took everything from Van Gogh and he created a piece that. If Van Gogh was here today, that's something he would create. That's something close to what he would create. How crazy is that? Like, it just shows that Van Gogh could come back as an AI just because the machine was studying his drawings. Pretty crazy.
I mean, it is crazy just the fact that, like, an AI could definitely adapt to someone's skills.
Yeah.
But then you know who's really good at adapting at someone's skills and making it better? The Japanese.
That's true. They're very smart.
You know, like I don't think like they're like the best innovators, but when they find a good idea, they could actually make it better. Mm. You know, one example is like, who created the first video game?
It was some white guy.
Yeah, like
it was Pong, right?
Yeah, was it Pong? And guess what happened now? Like, damn, like majority of the
they took it over.
yeah, they took it over and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's like one example, especially and then you know with the cars and stuff. I think Japanese cars is still.
Tesla seems pretty cool.
Oh, that's the new stuff. Watch until like a Japanese dude start thinking of new Tesla times 10. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. Man. I mean, what about you? What do you think about AI? What do you think AI is gonna do to Instagram? Do you think there's gonna be a robot that's gonna take over Instagram and just do everything perfect?
No, I just thought about when you talk about the Japanese, they have like the Japanese virtual sex machines.
Oh yeah.
That's what I was just thinking of.
So what do you think about that?
I want to try it. I'm down to try it. But
that is something interesting, to be honest. Did you see like the VR of the young kid who was playing around with it?
No.
He had a machine on, and you could see what he was seeing. It was like a young, like school. It's not a schoolgirl who's of age, not young. It's just that she looks young, but she's of age. And he had the balloon, and he was like humping the balloon.
Wait. Was it an anime girl?
Yes. Yeah, it was an anime chick. And he was just like going off, and his boys were recording him, and he's like lost in this world, just humping her, and you could see her in 3D, like what he's doing. And I think, honestly, bro, I think if that takes over, we're not like, I mean, I don't want to say me, but I feel like the men in general are gonna have no use for actual women anymore. I'm be straight up, like I know it sounds crazy, but think about it. You have an AI woman. Who has like this perfect new like 3D printed body, you know, big boobs, big ass, curves and everything. She could do whatever you want. She could have any type of sex you want, but she doesn't talk back and she doesn't annoy you and you could do whatever the hell you want after. Right? That's scary, bro.
That's crazy.
And it's closer than we think. I think.
No, and it is close. Like, you know, like these robots nowadays could definitely perform a lot of crazy stuff.
Have you ever felt their skin? It feels so real. Like my boy, he because they were printing one, and if you slap it, like it feels like real skin. Like, it's insane. Yeah. I don't know if you know Timothy Delgado. You know Timothy?
Yeah.
Right? I went to his house, and he had one. He had, like...
He had one?
No, he had, like, the ass one. It's just,
oh,
it's,
I think I know that. Yeah.
It's just an ass, but it's made with, like, high quality, like, kind of feels like skin. And he was, like, holding it when he was talking to me, and he kept slapping. I was like, yo, bro, that looks so real. Can I touch it? He's like, yeah, I touched that, and it felt legit, bro. I'm like, yo, this is the future right here.
Yeah, I touched a fleshlight before.
Yeah? It's pretty similar.
My boy's fleshlight.
Why would you touch your boy's fleshlight? Oh, that's disgusting. God. Was it